I was 4 and a half when my mother married my stepfather, who she'd always been in love with, but he'd been married to somebody else. So she married my father rather for the wrong reasons, I think, just because she didn't want to be on the shelf. And I was born from this rather sad marriage. And then the minute my stepfather was free, she left my poor father. But he did find another wife in the end and have more children, so it wasn't totally sad.
So how much of your time were you abroad?
Well, at the beginning, I was abroad all the time with them, and then I've started the book in Syria, which was, I got there when I was 7, and I started it in Syria because it was the first, when I was 7, was the first time I was aware of food, and it was, I think it was the spices. It was tasting lamb rubbed with these spices after I'd just been to the souk for the first time, huge covered market. And I remember so well the smell of this lamb that we had an Armenian cook, and I'd seen him rubbing it into the lamb, and then the smell of it cooking, and then I tasted it. And that was a sort of eureka moment for me, and I realised how exciting food was, and I never stopped, really, after that.
Your destiny was kind of set at the age of 7.
Absolutely. Or I suppose, yes, I became greedy, or I just realised it was exciting and that it was part of life. And I've always thought that, which is why Orchards in the Oasis was particularly enjoyable book to write, because it's about my life, which has always, I mean, food has always been part of my life. I couldn't write a book, a cookery book, which I didn't bring life into in some way.
Or the other way round.
Yeah, exactly, or the other way round. And so this is life and its travels. And it also uses, for the period photographs, it uses all my photographs, which I've always been... I mean, I've taken photographs from age 8, and it's one of my things. I mean, I've got huge archive in my house.
It's really unusual. I don't think I've met anybody before who's kept such detailed archives for so long with so many pictures to choose from.
I think it was to do with security, because I think I had to, you know, when you're a child of a broken marriage, and then you come into, my stepfather had children of his first marriage and everything, and you become this odd person. I had a different name from my stepfather, you know, and my stepbrother and sister, and I was sent hither and thither in Syria. The governesses failed for various reasons, and eventually I was sent back to England, lived with my grandmother, and I could have become very insecure, except for my grandmother's amazing love. I mean, that's the chapter in Granny's Kitchen. You know, I mean, I could have been very insecure, and I wasn't really, but I think this sort of documenting, it meant I built this sort of wall of security around me because I had all these things, and it made me feel I sort of really existed properly.
Because you then married David Dimbleby, who's also took you abroad a lot. You went abroad presumably because of his career.
Yes, well, when I first married, I mean, I married him in 1967, and he was actually not working for the BBC at that time. He was working for CBS television in America. And so, I mean, we got married and instantly went out there, and so lived in an apartment in New York, and then he was filming in Texas. So, yeah, the travelling continued.
So your book, Orchards in the Oasis, actually does span that too.
That has yes, New York and Texas in 1967, which are quite funny stories. And coming back on almost the last journey of the original Queen Mary. That was an eating orgy, because the food was wonderful. I mean, they would make anything for you. I realised the first day I went on a tour of the kitchens. I was already, you know, very keen on food, and I'd got cookbooks with me that I'd bought in New York. And I was told that if I rang up the kitchen in the morning, they would make special things. You know, they loved doing that. And so I'd look through these cookery books and think, no, that's what I want, some amazing elaborate thing. Ring them up, and in the evening there it was. And there were all these old sort of Cockney waiters on the Queen Mary then who'd spent their whole lives on the ship. And they were terribly sort of friendly and nice. And they used to go around every day, every evening, they went around with a huge bowl of caviar. I mean, just like that. And they slopped it onto your plate like that. And then they'd come round for a second time saying, have some more blackberry jam, love, you know.
Wonderful.
And it was an extraordinary atmosphere.